Veronica's here. And George is on the line. Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. You're Washington Bureau Chief this morning.
Hey, buddy.
And actually, if you look online on Twitter, there's a handsome picture of the sheriff and I on Inauguration Day last year.
Really? And which one's handsome, sir?
The gentleman in the hat looks a lot better than I did.
I'm just making sure I understand everything is going on. Well, good. And Sheriff Clark should be calling in shortly, I take it. Or is he with you?
No, he's calling in from wherever. He called me a couple of minutes. He's got the call-in number.
Oh, okay. So, well, it's obvious you know it.
It is a black tie weekend here in Washington, D.C. We're all going out. Last night was the Robert Burns dinner
for
all the Scotsmen. And they had to eat that haggis stuff, which I still believe that most people that Scottish and English food is a result of a dare. I dare you to eat that.
Is that what that is? What is a haggis? Is that like okay, I think we got another call coming. Go ahead.
Heart, lungs, and stomach.
All that stuff should be thrown out. I think we got another phone call. You're on the air.
Sheriff David Clark.
Sheriff Clark, Russ Clark Newman, thank you so much for calling in. And I know I have George on the other line.
Sheriff, I was just telling that I got a great picture of the two of us from last year's inauguration in the afternoon over by the library. And let's get right to the point here. We've got seems that the Department of Justice, the FBI, is kind of out of control. They can't find anything. I mean, the IRS couldn't find their stuff, and now they can't find it. And, I mean, should people be investigating if they can't even find their own email and text us? This is just nuts.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, this scandal, and that's what it is, it's a serious breach of trust by a government institution, I believe, that we have ever seen in the history of this republic. And what's scary is they almost got away with it. You know, all you have to do is ask yourself, what made several high-ranking FBI officials believe that they could actually get away with hatching a plan to interfere with the presidential election, and when that failed, to go on a mission to destroy the legitimacy of our duly elected president, Donald Trump, to the point of giving the opposition party potential ammunition with which to impeach him? And, you know, I think the answer to it is real clear. These people thought that nobody was watching, and that once they succeeded, no one would ever find out, because in the world of secret that they get to operate in, they could have taken this stuff to the grave.
Sheriff Clark, what's it going to take to get the credibility back to the populace so that we can trust it again? I haven't seen handcuffs on Lois Lerner. I haven't seen handcuffs on anybody from the FBI, CIA. It's as if the rule of law doesn't affect them.
Yeah, they seem to be immune from the laws that they want to hold everybody else to, including a man like General Flynn and others throughout history. But it's pretty obvious to me that with the information we know thus far, I know it's trickling out, and I think that that's a shame in and of itself, but the FBI has become part of the deep state, and that they're totally detached from our systems of accountability. Like I said, they get to operate in so much secrecy, and that allowed them to go rogue. You know, they're accountable to the Congress. And when these institutions of government that are very powerful no longer feel accountable to anybody, they engage in this sort of behavior that we're seeing today. You know, the general consensus by the public is that we want to trust our law enforcement agencies.
Right.
We generally just kind of give them that trust because, you know, they seem apolitical. But then that leaves them to self-monitor, and it's pretty obvious to me that self-monitoring failed in the FBI. And I always say it's okay to trust, but there's nothing wrong with asking government officials to prove to us what they're doing.
Absolutely, and it's at a time, and Sheriff Clark, you've been more outspoken than anybody on the Black Lives Matter, the police force that's in the field that doesn't get the respect, that the dangers that the police force is up to because of that attitude. I think this adds to that. I mean, we are a populace that needs to get to understand that these police forces are after our best interest.
Well, I think the general population, the general public, and the local communities, they do understand it. I've seen some of the polling done by independent firms that don't have a political bent. And it's in the anywhere from the 60s to the high 70s of trust by citizens of their local law enforcement agencies. And that includes in the black community. I saw a poll not too long ago where black residents were polled, and it was in the 60s that they generally approve of the way they're policed and what police do, because they understand the difficulty that they operate in. But we just got out of an administration, thank God, by the way, for the election of Donald Trump. But we just came away from an administration that, you know, was on this mission to transform this country, whatever that means. They never explained, but I think we're seeing now what they meant, where they weaponized these institutions of government, the IRS, Lois Lerner, you mentioned her. I don't hold out much hope that the people who have been named in this latest FBI scandal, we don't know how deep the corruption is, and that bothers me. But I don't think any of them are going to ever face any criminal prosecution. There might be a few low-level people that are transferred, or, you know, they move around. Several of the people who've been named in this should have been fired, or internal investigations for firing should have been started. Instead, they're just shifted around to other government agencies. And in the case of McCabe, Andy McCabe, he's being allowed to ride out the string until he's eligible for retirement. I think that's a shame.
But the person that can pull strings on that is Sessions. The Department of Justice seems to be idly watching. I mean, we've got a special prosecutor for a made-up dossier, but we can't get it when we've got facts in front of us. Hillary Clinton as well in front of us. Why is it that we can't get it done with a Republican appointee to the Department of Justice?
Yeah, well, one of the things that people need to understand is the depths of these bureaucracies. They're so entrenched, and it's really hard, you know, in fairness to Jeff Sessions, he just got there. And, yeah, it's been a year, but it's very hard to get down in the bowels of these agencies to know where all the bodies are buried. First of all, you have to assemble a team of some people inside who can show you where the bodies are buried and how they operate, some of the things that they do, and that takes a while. But I think in fair criticism of Attorney General Sessions, I think it was a huge mistake that he recused himself early on. I think he tried to placate the Democrats, you know, to show his independence. But I thought that went a long way to bringing us to the state that we're at today with this special counsel investigation.
Sheriff, one of the things that's going to come out in the next several weeks and that everybody's been talking about is the Inspector General's report on the FBI. And one of the things that I'm hearing on Inside Baseball over at DOJ and actually just the FBI guys that hang out off the record is that there is more than enough to go after Comey and a number of the other people. But had Hillary Clinton won, they would have covered all of this up. I mean, honestly, it was set up for that, and they weren't able to cover it up fast enough. But, I mean, one of the big things I'm worried about with Sessions that I stopped worrying about was when somebody explained to me that it took 3 years to put together the case against Gotti. We've only had a year to start putting the case against the previous administration. So what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, obviously there was enough evidence. Former FBI Director James Comey made the case in his news conference on announcing of no charging, but there was obviously enough evidence I'm talking about, not speculation and rumor or reasonable suspicion. There was ample evidence to charge her with felonies. There was ample evidence to charge Lois Lerner with felonies, and these people escaped prosecution because we're talking about the establishment here, and it crosses party lines, okay? Let's be fair about this. These people protect each other. And Mrs. Bill Clinton, I like to call her, she will never see the inside of a jail cell, unfortunately.
Really?
I don't think James Comey... No, she won't. I don't think James Comey will ever be charged. I don't think, McCabe and Strzok and Lisa Page or any of those people will ever be charged. They'll be allowed to resign. And those people... I said this in a tweet. Those people should have been arrested and done the perp walk out of the FBI building in front of the cameras to let other people know if you engage in this behavior, this is what's going to happen. But they seem to be, like I said, immune from prosecution, and I think that's a shame.
We got General Flynn on basically nothing and being prosecuted, and it's a shame that you say that, but, it's reality, I guess. State of the Union's coming up.
Yeah, well...
You going to be watching the State of the Union or the alternative from Hollywood, the anti-Trumpers?
I'll be watching the State of the Union. It'll be President Trump's first State of the Union. I think it's historic when that happens. I think he does an excellent job in those type settings. You know, his inaugural address, and he addressed the nation last year, excuse me, because of the shortness of time. He couldn't give a State of the Union, but he addressed the nation. And I just think he does an outstanding job in those situations because he doesn't talk to the American people like he's smart. He thinks he's smarter than them. He doesn't use big words and fancy flowing rhetoric. He just looks into the camera and he talks to people. And he's able to resonate with Americans all across the spectrum, whether they're in the heartland, whether they're in the South, whether in the Northeast. He has that innate ability. And so I think that'll be on display again next Tuesday night. I think he'll lay out again his agenda and his vision to make America great again. I'm kind of excited about it. I'll be doing numerous interviews after on what I thought of the speech.
Now, are you going to be in D.C. or are you going to be home? Or?
I live in the D.C. metro area now. Okay. I moved out here last fall because of the private enterprise I started. You know, I retired from being the sheriff back on September 1st, and I started DAC Enterprises. And if people go to my website, dacenterprises.org, they can see, poke around and see what's going on with me. But I'm doing a lot of public speaking all across the country, talking about issues that are important to Americans. I'm supporting the Trump agenda. I'm working with the America First Action, which is the official Trump PAC. I'm also working with a conservative think tank that should be rolled out in the next couple of weeks. So I'm very busy doing a lot of traveling, speaking, writing. And because of the logistics, it just made more sense for me to move out to Washington, D.C. So I'm basically living in two places, but I'm spending most of my time in Washington, D.C.
Well, there should be a lot of houses for sale. As we're cleaning the swamp, there should be a lot of leaving, so that's good.
You know, that's going to be, and you can tell by this FBI thing, the Lois Lerner thing, that's going to be one of the steepest mountains that President Trump is going to have to climb because this entrenched bureaucracy is so deep and it is so massive. Our government is so massive that it's going to be very difficult to drain the swamp in a short period of time. But I think it could start with the FBI. But I also think you need an independent audit, an independent review so that you can get inside the nooks and crannies of the FBI. Like I said, I'm not going to say the entire agency is corrupt, but I don't know how deep that the corruption has penetrated, and so we can't take chances by just firing a few or letting a few high-level officials retire. You can't just move deck chairs around. I think there has to be a total house cleaning of that organization. But I'm a little concerned about the inspector general because, don't forget, that's a bureaucrat too.
Right.
And these inspector generals are assigned to these agencies, so you know, he's familiar with these people in the FBI, and I just think that coziness is what allowed the FBI to go rogue. So I would be in favor of some independent task force or whatever that could go inside, you know, that aren't politically connected, whose fortunes don't depend on their findings. And we really got to clean this thing out because that is a powerful organization. They have awesome power and authority, and as you can see, when they weaponize it to go after people whose views that don't align with theirs, it can be very devastating to this republic.
Well, since you're living so close, could you do me a favor and run over to Baltimore and tell me what's going on with them over there with the high murder rate and the police forces? Are they just out of control?
Yeah, I don't even have to go over there to tell you what's going on. They got bad leadership. They've had bad political leadership for a long time. I've gotten to know some of the of Baltimore's finest, the Baltimore Police Department. But there again, you saw a politically motivated prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, who weaponized government to go after a couple of Baltimore's finest. I predicted when she announced the charging those officers, I predicted that that would crash.
It did.
And come back to haunt her, and it did.
Yeah.
Now she's facing some blowback from that, and that's good to see.
Now, you've been outspoken for, you know, supporting police, outspoken against hate groups for quite a while. Your face very familiar on the television. Do you get any blowback at all from organizations that would like to silence you?
Oh, huge. I got a big target on my back from anti-police groups, from anarchists, from people on the left, people in the Democrat Party, you name it. I'm public enemy number one. But, you know, I don't worry about that because I don't do this for anything other than to protect this profession and the profession of policing. This is, you know, better trained and more professional than any time in our history. There was an ugly chapter in policing back in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
But we changed. We changed on our own. We changed on our own because the public demanded that we change our tactics, that we change our ourselves, you know, our behavior, and we did it. So I've been in this profession for nearly 40 years. It's been good to me. It's a proud profession. It's a very important profession in our democratic state, in our constitutional republic. Somebody has to defend the rule of law on the front lines, and that's the American police officer.
There's, of course, all police forces are independent of each other. Sheriffs are independent of each other. At one time, Barack Obama was talking about nationalizing the whole thing. They should all be nationalized because then the police wouldn't act stupidly. Obviously, that didn't happen. What were you thinking during that time?
Oh, that would have been a huge mistake. You know, that was talked about at the formation of this republic, and they didn't want a national police force. It was a states' rights issue. I'm glad that the founders realized that, you know, crime and crime control, states have a vested interest in that. This stuff is best done at the local level. You create a national police force. Can you imagine if Barack Obama would have had control of a national police force like he did the FBI and the Department of Justice, what he could have done with that?
Scary.
It's a very scary thing. We're not a police state in the United States. We're not omnipresent. I don't want police on every corner. And that was kind of the idea when they said, no, on a national police force. And it's also been talked about in Congress throughout our history about maybe forming some sort of national police agencies, but they always backed off in the end because they knew it was a bad idea. Crime, and like I said, these issues are best handled at the local level. All of these issues that were magnified during the war on police, every police use of force became a national story. Those weren't national stories. Those might have been big stories locally. That's where they should have remained.
Yeah.
But I always say, let the local people solve their problems in their communities. Let the police departments in these and sheriff's office in these communities, let them be accountable to the people they serve and not to the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a shame that when Barack Obama put together
Sheriff,
this 21st take.
Sheriff, one of the things that recently a reverend in Chicago had gone to the gangs and basically said, you know, you guys got to really, you know, knock this thing down, and the administration would like to help you guys on this, but you've got to really knock down the violence. And from what I understand, the gangs actually said that they trusted this president a lot more than they trusted the other one, and way more than the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, of Chicago, because they figured that what this president will say is what he'll do.
You know, it's a simple concept. First of all, Rahm Emanuel's been a disaster ever since he took over the city of Chicago. It's a great American city. I'm familiar with it. It's only 72 miles from Milwaukee. I used to get down there frequently. I think the reason, if that statement was made, is because they know that when President Trump says something, he means it. He backs up his rhetoric with action, and he's made it clear that he's going to use the Department of Justice resources to help the local police agencies get their arms around crime using the federal code. There's more teeth in the federal code, longer sentences, stiffer sentences in the federal code than at the state level. The feds haven't fallen for all this nonsense like alternatives to incarceration and community corrections and those things that don't work. And the other thing, too, is that The Department of Justice under Barack Obama was interested in one thing, and that was taking over police agencies. There were like 22 consent decrees under Barack Obama. And like every time they filed a federal complaint to take over a police agency, it succeeded. That doesn't pass the smell test. Not once did they look at a police department and say, no, everything looks kind of up to snuff here. Every time they initiated an investigation, they filed charges and consent decrees. They strong-armed these cities into consent decrees.
Yeah.
These consent decrees are expensive, and they also take officers off the street because they're heavy with report writing. Every action they do, everything they do involves report writing. That's the bureaucracy. When officers are writing reports, you know what they're not doing? They're not patrolling high-crime neighborhoods.
One final question, Sheriff. We're running out of time. Is President Trump going to be reelected, and are you going to be helping him?
I'm in for the long haul. I helped this president get elected. Now I'm helping him fight to change the direction of this country back the way it was supposed to be, intended by the founding fathers. Will he be reelected? You know, that's 3 years away. If I were a betting man, I'd say yes. But I take these things a year at a time. A lot changes every year. Let's see if he decides to run again. He's made it clear that he is, but I take this one step at a time. But I think if he does run, he'll win. You look at the economy, black unemployment at historic lows. The economy is roaring right now, and it's going to get better. How can anybody in America the next time around go to the polls? Now he's got a track record. Before, he didn't have one. You know, people said, well, I don't know. He's never governed before. How do we know? Well, now we'll know. And I think a lot more people will get on board, not Democrats, but maybe enough independents that may have gone Mrs. Bill Clinton's way will come back toward Donald Trump. It'll be tough. Elections are tough. Presidential elections are tough. This was razor thin. And I think it will be again. But, yeah, I think it'll be reelected.
Hey, George, thank you so much, my friend.
Hey, we want to thank Cora Mandy at America First and the PAC. They got Corey Lewandowski yesterday and Sheriff Clark today. Sheriff Clark, see you in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Hill Club. And thank you guys all for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, it's my pleasure. You guys enjoy.
All right, bye.